Welcome to the Very Pink Knits podcast, the companion podcast of the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel. I'm Stacy and I'm here with Casey.
Hi there.
Casey is the media manager here at Very Pink, and she's also producing this show. If you'd like to get your knitting question on the show, just email it to podcast@verypink.com, and please tell us where you're from. If you're enjoying the ad-free show, please consider supporting it. I'll have a link in the show notes. You can also go to patreon.com/verypinkknits for more information. And of course, our yarn patron is Turtle Pearl, and they make self-striping sock yarns that give you an identical twin pair of socks, not fraternal twin pair of socks. And we have a coupon code in the show notes. We talk a lot about Turtle Pearl. We love Turtle Pearl yarns. And I've been saying the word this whole episode without tripping over Turtle Pearl like I usually do.
I know.
Wow, I'm getting better at this podcasting thing. This is episode 194, so if you hear something, a link or whatever that you want to see, you can go to verypink.com, click the podcast tab at the top of the page, and look for episode 194. Wow, I made it through all of that intro business so efficiently this time.
I know.
I'm telling you, I'm getting good at this podcast thing.
It only took 194 episodes.
It took 193 because 194 is awesome.
That's right.
So far, it's great. How are you doing, Casey?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah. I'm good. Something we didn't talk about in the last episode, because I was talking a lot about like just coming back from not feeling well, is I raised Eastern Black Swallowtail butterflies.
I saw that.
Yeah, kind of accidentally, because I planted fennel this year, and I saw all these caterpillars and on my fennel, and I saw all these wasps hanging around. Yeah. And a quick Google search told me that those wasps are going to kill those sweet baby, chubby, stripy caterpillars. And so I got an enclosure for them, and I got to watch the whole thing from caterpillar and egg. Well, actually, from egg to butterfly when I released them.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So that's been like my other hobby, because I needed more hobbies.
I know.
But it's only like a month long, because I mean, that's how long it takes an Eastern Black Swallowtail to go from egg to release, is, you know, less than a month. So it wasn't a massive thing. But I have been posting about it on Facebook, and lots of pictures of the butterflies and everything. And it's been I've never done a project like this with bugs before. It's been really cool to watch.
A project with bugs.
I've never had a bug hobby before. And now I want to plan for next year, because this year I just planted the fennel, and it was kind of an accidental steward of butterflies, caterpillars. Next year I want to actually like plant a lot of fennel, a lot of dill, like really plan ahead for the caterpillars, and then what else? Oh, also have more flowering native plants so that the butterflies are attracted to the nectar in those. Oh, I'm learning so much. It's been such a cool project.
You know what's fun but kind of gross?
What?
Having an ant farm. My kids have had ant farms over the years.
I don't think that would be gross as long as they didn't get out.
No, it's gross because when they start dying, they like create what's interesting, they create like little cemeteries. And so they take the dead ones off into the corner. And so all the dead ones go off into the corner. And so you see all the dead ants piled in the corner.
But God,
it's fascinating. It's just so neat to watch how they build their whole system.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. Like the fascinating part, like the whole ant cemetery is part of it. But like the fascinating thing is more like do you have one of those things where you can see through the tunnels they're building and stuff?
Yeah. I mean, this has been years. All the ants died and went to the cemetery.
who took the last ant to the cemetery?
I don't know. I guess they just started dying in place. But it's really interesting. Ants are fascinating.
Bugs are fascinating.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I don't think I'll get an ant farm, because that seems like the kind of thing that would make my dogs way too curious about what was going on, and they would knock it over. And then I would have to get the bug people out to spray the inside of my house.
I don't know if you know that we have a lizard that Donovan's got. My oldest has a lizard It's a Uromastix, which is like he wanted a bearded dragon, but they require crickets all the time. And so this kind of lizard is vegan and does not require crickets. I was like, I'm not going to buy crickets once a week.
Mom puts her foot down. Right.
But the cat, like he is, you know, a teenager with a small growing frontal lobe that doesn't always work.
Right.
And he has left the top off before and then come back and has found that the cat got in there. And like they had a little, I don't know what happened. There was always like a battle. The cat got out and the lizard's hiding.
Crazy. Does a lizard have a way of defending himself?
Oh, he's got these giant claws.
That's what I mean. Maybe the lizard like scratched the cat and the cat was like, get me out of here.
Yeah. But she's she's done it a couple times. And I'm like, whose fault is this? This is your fault for leaving the top off.
But you talk to the cat the same way you talk to your son.
No, my son.
Oh, then you're talking to your son. Right.
Because he gets mad at the cat. I'm like, it's not the cat. It's just doing what she's, you know, instinct tells her to do.
Well, maybe your son's instinct is telling him to leave the lid off.
His instinct is telling him to stare at his phone and not pay attention to what he's doing.
There you go.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, the dogs and the ants might be a problem.
Yeah. And I actually, I want to do the black swallowtails again next year, but I'm really thinking about like having the whole butterfly caterpillar garden be someplace outside of the backyard fence, because it has been really hard to keep my boy dog away from the caterpillar, anything that moves, right? Because he's a cat dog, and anything that moves. And yesterday I was the last time I was releasing the butterflies, usually I release them and they fly up, and one butterfly flew down and he went and snapped for it. And I grabbed his collar just in time. And he was like so annoyed with me, like, I almost had it. It's like, you're not going to eat this like 3 hour old butterfly that I have been tending to for a month. And it's like, it's too much stress to have the dogs have access to the butterfly garden.
Yeah.
Wow. This has nothing to do with knitting, but I guess one bit of comfort is that knitters usually have like other interests that like extend into bugs and dogs and whatever else. But we are here to magically turn knitting questions into knitting answers. And we have a bunch of questions. Is there anything else, Casey, before we start with that?
No, I can't think of anything.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay. Hiya, pink peeps. I use the YouTube channel as ASMR while going through my evening. So thank you. My question is about that silly little backwards loop stitch that needs to be made just after a mitten thumb goes onto waste yarn. Other than the tidy up after the thumb is complete, is there any way to make this one stitch not so loose and messy? Thanks and happy knitting, Jody from Boston.
Hi, Jody from Boston. that stitch called a backwards loop cast on is just a loop of yarn, a twisted loop of yarn that we use for casting on when we only have one strand of yarn to work with. And it is great for little things like that stitch at the base of the thumb or that's what I'm thinking it comes in mostly is like when you're knitting gloves and mittens. But it's not a great cast-on stitch because it doesn't have a knot at the bottom of it. It's just a loop of yarn twisted around the needle. So it can get tight, tight, tight and leave long strands of yarn next to it. Or it can get loose, loose, loose and have everything around it kind of it's not great. Like the only thing you can do is when you go to weave in that end there, like you've said, Jody, is to tighten it up. Or this is another thing, just like with socks, like everything looks magically better after a little bit of after washing and blocking and wearing or whatever. But you can greatly improve the look of it by taking a tapestry needle or a little bamboo pin like I use and just picking the stitches around it so that any extra yarn there gets eaten up in the stitches around it, because you don't have a bunch of extra yarn there. What you have is something that's too tight and creating looseness in other places. So if you like manually even thin things up with the tapestry needle, that will also help. I usually just do duplicate stitch over the whole thing and say that looks great. No one would ever notice, and then be done with it. Yeah.
How do you feel about ASMR?
I mean, people like have their things, like listening to stuff relaxes them. Do you want to explain what ASMR is?
It's like, I don't even know what it stands for. Do you know what it stands for?
I know the first word is audio. That's all I know.
Yeah, it's like some audio channels where people like whisper, or they like make sounds of brushing things.
Or clicking. They use like two microphones or something that picks up left and right. So if you're wearing headphones, you can hear both sides left and right. I heard a podcast talking about this before, and I jumped to YouTube to see what they were doing. And just like people who find like the really careful sounds of, you know, like not careful sounds, but really close sounds of like brushing hair in a silent room. Like these people like focus on that because I guess it's really relaxing for people or something.
Yeah, my husband likes some of it. To me, it's like the opposite effect. Similar to what we talked about in the last episode when I get annoyed at my own knitting needles.
Yeah, you don't have patience for this kind of thing.
It enrages me.
It enrages you. Oh, gosh. Like, okay, that sounds like a misophonia.
Yeah, like it gives me the heebie-jeebies. Like, ooh.
No, it kind of gives me the heebie. I think maybe it kind of gives everybody the heebie-jeebies. It does me too. But I don't mind all of the sounds. I'll tell you what. I watched one part of one ASMR video that I didn't even know that I was going to love. And it's of a kitten eating a sausage on a stick. And so... Oh, I'll link to that because it is too funny. This tiny baby kitten eating a sausage on a stick and it's ASMR.
Is it
his purring? Little mouth. Yeah, he's purring and eating. And you know that sound of when a baby kitten's purring sounds so rough in there. Yeah. And he's eating and smacking and doing that rough purring sound because he's so happy to have this whole sausage. Anyway, I'll link to it. I can't do it because it is that good. You're going to love it, Casey. Yeah. I know. Okay, so you mentioned that because Jody said that she watches my videos for the ASMR. Yeah. And there's no ASMR intentionally in my videos, but...
No. But that's soothing. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I know people turn it on just to have like a knitting voice while they're knitting. And that works, yeah.
I mean, I listen to a poetry podcast with the Irish poet that's kind of my ASMR, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's called by the On Being people. So if you're looking for it.
On Being? B-E-I-N-G?
On Being. It's a show on, but it's Poetry Unbound.
Oh, nice. Okay.
With Patrick Otuma. Okay. Anyway,
I'm writing that down. Okay.
Okay. This is a Patreon question. Can you please explain why not all yarn felts the same way? Why light colored yarns won't felt as well? And why white yarn may not felt at all? This is mentioned in the note on yarn selection in the Easter bag pattern. Your pattern. Apparently this question has a part two. For the felting, on the instructions it says check every few minutes so the bag doesn't overfelt. What is overfelting? How long does felting take? Thanks again. All best regards, Leslie.
Hi, Leslie. Casey, I'm going to answer the first question. I'm going to want your input on the second part.
Okay.
Because I think we both have experiences with felting a lot of stuff. Yeah. But the first question, Leslie's asking why, because I'm very clear about this in my Easter basket pattern. It's a knitted pattern, of course, that is then felted, which means we take the wool yarn, you know, we use wool yarn, 100% wool, no superwash. And when we're done knitting this big giant Easter basket, we put it in the hot washer and machine wash it, which you would never normally do if you're being careful. But this intentionally makes it felt and shrink down, and you end up with this nice little structured Easter basket or whatever it is you're knitting that you're felting. So that's felting. And in the pattern, I'm very careful because, typical Easter basket colors would be pastels and white and not all. And the fact that this basket has multiple colors in it, not all colors of the exact same yarn will felt the same way, and white yarn will likely not felt at all. And that's because the bleaching process for white yarns or really light colored yarns actually removes the scales on the wool that you know, essentially making it a super wash yarn. It removes the scales so that it won't felt. And so you have to be careful with that sort of thing. You know, lots of people have knit that pattern. As long as they avoid white yarn, it's fine. It seems like light, light pink yarn or light, light yellow yarn will felt enough so that it's not a problem with the basket. Mm-hmm. Then her second question, I mean, the thing is, yeah, that's why it doesn't all felt the same. And you just have to be careful of using light, light colors with dark colors because they're not going to felt at the same speed and white yarn might not felt at all. Mm-hmm. The second part of her question is when you're felting, in my instructions, I say, check every few minutes while it's in the hot washer so the bag doesn't overfelt. And she's asking, what is overfelting? And my experience with felting is that, you know, you put your big giant, you know, tote bag or whatever you've made into the hot washer and it goes, and you check it, nothing, goes, you check it, nothing, goes, you check it. Oh man, okay, we only have a couple minutes left. This is right. Is that what it's like?
Or yeah, you can felt something and you expect it to come out one size and then you come in and it's half the size.
Yeah, that's it. Because you can overfelt something. Like you want a bag to be big enough to hold like your knitting and your little knitting notions kit or whatever. And if you don't check it regularly, you can end up with a tiny little lunch sack. You know,
lunch sack.
Well, it'd be insulated with all that wool around it, but. Yeah, so like every few minutes, and then when you notice that you're getting close, you have to check a lot. You felted a lot of stuff. You felted like a lot of bags and stuff. Like I know that one big bag that you carry, that's a nice bag.
My European bag.
Why do you call it a European bag?
Somebody, I was using it once at the grocery store, and somebody said, ooh, I like your bag. Is it European?
They asked you that?
Yeah. That's always
so
like,
now you call it European.
My bag is European.
It's European. Okay.
No, because I used that Noro yarn, so it was just really uniquely colored.
Yeah, it looks great. It's cool.
Yeah, I need to pull that out for the winter. And I have some of that yarn left. I think I'm going to make a little pod for my cat because she loves wool.
Oh, you must have a lot of that left. Are you going to felt it?
I do. I got it. I think I got it like on a clearance website. I was thinking about because there's a pattern for it. It's like a big ball and then it has a little hole and then you felt it and then the cat sits in it.
Yeah. It's like a little cave for a cat. And that's another one where you want to get it felted just right because you want it to stand up on its own, but you don't want it so small that the cat can't get through the hole.
Yeah. I'm actually thinking about using my knitting machine, but it might be too small. But I guess I could knit it flat. So,
or even anyway. If you're going to felt it, you can even seam it.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking.
Felting is so fun. I haven't done a felting project in a long time. Felting is really fun.
It is. I have this little tote bag that I made years ago, and I love it. It's just like a cute little like lunch sack size.
Yeah.
And it's just felting makes it nice and sturdy and cute. So I recommend it.
I have several felting patterns. It's just been a long time since I've done anything with felting. And the French market bag, that was really popular, I don't know, like 15 years ago or so. Yeah. It is still a great pattern. That is a great pattern. And every time I've made one of those as a gift, people have loved it. One time I went to a friend's house. She was having a dinner for a bunch of people, this pre-pandemic. And I brought I can't remember what I brought, but I brought a hot dish over and I used a French market bag to carry the hot dish, which was perfect because all that wool around the hot dish kept it hot and also kept it from burning my legs on the way there while it was sitting on my lap. And she saw that and she was like, this is so perfect for taking food places. And of course I gave it to her when she said that. Of course she can have it. I can make another one. But so like French market bag is a free pattern on knitty.com. I can link to it.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at it on Ravelry. That's similar to the one I have, except mine's more of a narrow tote bag size. But do you cut the handle? Do you remember?
No, nothing's cut. Everything is just shaped in the knitting.
Yeah. It's really cute.
And it's kind of marketed as a knitting bag, but it ends up being just kind of a great carry anything bag or even for groceries and stuff. I love that bag.
Yeah. That is a good pattern.
They're fun. I want to start another French market bag.
Let's go felt something.
let's go felt something. And we have an episode title. Thank you for that, Casey. Let's get to another question.
Okay. Hi, Stacey and Casey. Thank you for your wonderful and informative podcast. I've been knitting for many years and still turn to your videos and podcasts for instructions and help with knitting questions. You folks are very enjoyable to listen to, and I do a lot of knitting listening to you. My question is, what percentages of cotton and other fibers are a good choice for warm weather knitting? Like you, I live in a warm climate most of the year. I would like to make a cardigan that can be used, especially in air-conditioned burr buildings. Not too heavy, just enough. I know cotton can stretch as do other fibers. Is there a good rule to follow? And what would make a fiber blend a yarn? What would make a fiber blend a yarn suitable for my purpose? I thought DK weight would work well. Thanks and keep up the good work. Regards, Pat in Georgia.
Hi, Pat in Georgia. Yes, you're thinking of making something like a barrier to over air conditioned spaces. I hear you on that. But I don't know that there's a magic number for a cotton, wool, or cotton, anything else blend to make it a comfortable sweater for something like that. I think it's all going to come down to the yarn weight that you use. And there are sweaters, gosh, I'm thinking back on old popular patterns that I haven't thought about in a while, you know, French Market Bag being one. There's a sweater called Featherweight Cardigan that's knit with lace weight wool. And it is such a cute sweater. It is so, I can hear Casey typing.
I'm going to Ravelry.
Featherweight cardigan, and it's knit with lace weight yarn. And even though it's 100% wool, or that's the yarn that the designer recommends, because it's so light, it's going to be comfortable indoors and air conditioning and, you know, for layering for over air conditioned spaces. Did you find the sweater, Casey?
Yeah, I've had that on my queue before.
You've had it on your queue before. I've made more than one of those. And, you know, like in the summertime, you know, pre-pandemic when I would wear cute dresses and I could always bring a featherweight cardigan and it, you know, like it bunches up to almost nothing because the fabric is so light. And then it's an easy thing to wear over like a cute dress or something.
Yeah, that's really cute.
And especially if you just keep the sleeves like bracelet length or elbow length. It is like nice air conditioning protection if you're wearing something, especially like a sundress or something. Yeah. It's a cute sweater. Yeah. So I don't think there's a magic cotton blend number because even wool will make a great sweater for air conditioning protection as long as it's a really lightweight and fingering weight or lace weight is a good choice. Yeah. Do you have a thought here?
Yeah. I was going to say any like merino wool, like a fingering weight. It feels light. And I have a sweater that I made, my rainbow sweater that I made last winter that's DK. And it's the perfect lightweight sweater.
Because the gauge is loose enough that it's not like a tight DK knit.
I mean, it's not tight, but it's a good lightweight merino wool that makes it just nice and springy and soft and cozy.
Good.
But okay, not too hot. So.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a magic. Well, I'm thinking now to a sweater that I knit a while ago. I think it's called A Dollar and a Half. It was an Interweave Knits. Where am I getting all these thoughts on all these ancient patterns? I don't know. I'm feeling nostalgic today. We got to go felt something. And but that sweater was knit with a Knit Picks Cotlin yarn, which I believe is a worsted weight yarn. It might be a DK, whatever it is. You'd think, you know, cotton sweater appropriate for Texas or whatever. No, that thing when it was finished was, you know, so heavy and it, you know, wasn't the greatest for wintertime wear because it's cotton and it wasn't the greatest for summertime wear because it was 47 pounds. So I never really got into wearing that sweater, even though it looked great because it's like these cables and all this stuff. But
yeah.
Casey, we have an episode.
We do?
Yeah. Can you believe it?
Wow. It's all my talk about ASMR.
That took us over the edge, I suppose. So if people want to find you online?
My website is kcknits.com, the letter K and the letter C, or Instagram at kc.knits.
Very good. And if you want to find me, there is, of course, the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel and verypink.com. And I'll put all of our other social links in the show notes. That is it for this week. Next week is a patrons only episode. So we'll be back in your regular feed in 2 weeks. Stay warm, my friends.